from the matters related to the dying person is directing him towards the Qibla. Directing him towards the Qibla. The people of knowledge, rahimahumullah, mentioned that it is better that he lays on his right side, laying him on his right side, if possible. And they took as evidence, the hadith of Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with both of them, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَشْرَفُ مَجَالِسِكُمْ مَسْتَقْبَلْتُمْ بِهِ الْقِبْلَةِ. The most noble of your circles are those ones in which you direct yourselves towards the Qibla. In another narration, the Kaaba Qiblatukum Ahya'an wa Amwata. The Kaaba is your direction, whether you're living or dead. And these two hadiths are weak. However, they are consoling in the sense that this is the work of the Muslims. The work of the Muslims is on them. Now, what are the legal matters after death? What are the legal matters to be done after the death of a person? The first is closing his eyes. That is because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered, went to visit Abu Salama radiallahu anhu, and he saw that his eyes were wide opened. And blank with the stare of death. He, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then said, إن الروح إذا قبض اتبعه البصر. He said, verily, when the soul is seized, the eyesight follows it. So this is from the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And furthermore, this removes any possible deformation where the scene of the body may not look ugly, because if the eyes were left open, wide open, it may lead to this kind of deformation or state. So therefore it's to be closed so that people don't have bad opinion of him, and also it is a protection from certain insects or so forth that may be present in the place, like ants and the like. And also one should remember to make the invocation upon closing the eyes of the deceased. Make the invocation which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made to Abi Salama. That is because when Abu Salama died, the people around wept and wailed. Some of his family members. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed them and said, لا تدعوا على أنفسكم إلا بخير فإن الملائكة يؤمنون على ما تقولون. Do not supplicate for yourselves anything but good, for angels, because angels say Ameen to what you say. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, Allahumma ighfir li Abi Salama warfa' darajatahu fil mahdiyin wafsah lahu fi qabrih wa nawwir lahu fihi wa khlufhu fi aqibih. The Prophet ﷺ made the following dua for Abu Salama. He said, O Allah, forgive Abu Salama, raise his degree amongst those who are rightly guided, grant him a succession in his descendants who remain. Forgive us and him, Lord of the universe, and make his grave spacious, and grant him light in it. And grant him light in it. So the person may make this dua if he is present. And this dua is in Sahih Muslim, book 4, number 2003. The third thing is to close his jaws. To close his jaws. So they can be closed with a bandage, the isaba, or khirqa, piece of cloth, or the like. Why? Because when the person dies, then the jaws if they are not closed, then that would lead the mouth to remain open. That will cause or will leave the mouth to be open. So they are to be closed during the time when the body is still warm. Otherwise, the mouth will be left open, and this is deformation. So therefore, if they are closed, this is a protection from that, and also protection for his inside from, for example, insects entering or water upon used when used for his washing. The fourth thing is تَلْيِينُ مَفَاصِلِهِ, to make his joints flexible. To make his joints flexible. Why? In order to facilitate his washing. Because the body remains warm for a short period of time, then it cools down. And when it cools down, and if it cools down, and then in this case the joints will remain inflexible, and then it will be difficult to wash. And the way to do that is to bend the forearms to the upper arms. The way to do that is to bend the forearms to the upper arms and then put them to his side. Also to bend the fingers to his hands, then straighten them, then to bend the calf to the thigh, and therefore after that the thighs to the stomach, then straighten them. The wisdom behind the making the joints flexible is to facilitate the washing of the body and also its shrouding. And if the joints are flexed at this stage, then they remain flexible. Otherwise, it becomes impossible afterwards. The fifth thing is to remove his clothes in a gentle way, to undress him in a gentle way. This is based upon the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, when she mentioned the case when the companions wanted to wash the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam following his death. So they said, by Allah we don't know, should we undress the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as we undress our dead or not? So they disagreed amongst themselves. May Allah be pleased with all of them. Now, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them to sleep, overwhelmed them by a feeling of drowsiness and sleep, to the extent that every one of them had his chin, laying against his chest. And this is one of the signs of Allah the Most High. Then they heard a voice from the corner of the masjid. Of the mosque, to wash the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his clothes on, having his clothes on. So they washed him with his clothes on, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So the point of evidence from this hadith is, كَمَا نُجَرِّدُ مَوْتَانَا, as we take off the clothes of our dead ones. So this is, therefore, legal. And that this is from the sunnah, approved sunnah with them. And also, so that the body of the deceased does not become warm, and this will hasten its deterioration, especially during hot seasons. Now, the sixth matter is to cover the deceased with a cloth after taking off his clothes, and that this cloth should cover the entire body. This is because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, سُجِّيَ بِبُرْدَةٍ حَبِرَةٍ, he was covered with a stripped garment, as in the agreed upon hadith. He was covered with a stripped garment, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith is from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Also, this is a protection of his inviolability. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, كَسْرُ عَظَمِ الْمَيِّتِ كَكَسْرِهِ حَيَّ, breaking a dead person's bone is like breaking it when he is alive. And this hadith is reported by Abi Dawood, and its isnad is in accordance with the conditions of Muslim. The seventh matter is that some of the people of knowledge mentioned that some heavy object should be placed on the stomach of the deceased, whether it is from mud or iron or something heavy. And they said that this is to prevent the bloating of the belly. And that there is a report from Anas radiallahu anhu that when one of his freed slaves died, so he commanded that they put on his belly or abdomen a metal or an iron piece. But this is inauthentic. This is inauthentic. And so it is not therefore valid to put something, a metal or a heavy object, on the abdomen. Second, also, that this bloating, which may occur in the abdomen, is an expansion. Whether, there is a piece, a thick piece, or heavy piece of something on it, or not. So therefore this is not to be done. The eighth thing is hastening to prepare the deceased. And this is the most important of all of these matters. The scholars, rahimahumullah, said as long as his death is not a sudden death. That is, if his death is a sudden death, then people should wait until it is certain. Otherwise, if it is not of the sudden type death, therefore, they should quick the preparation and hasten the preparation of washing and shrouding the deceased and burying him. And if it is a sudden death, they should wait to verify his death by some of the signs of death, which we will mention later, inshallah. Why? Because it may be possible that whatever occurred to him may be a state of losing consciousness. Now, on the other hand, we should know that delaying the barrier is in opposition to what is obviously understood from the Quran, as in Surah Abasa. قال الله عز وجل in Surah Abasa verses 18 to 21, من أي شيء خلق من نطفة خلقه فقدره ثم السبيل يسره ثم أماته listen ثم أماته فأقبره. From what thing did he create him? Man. From نطفة. He created him and then set him in due proportion. Then, you see that? Then he makes the path easy for him. ثم أماته, then he causes him to die. Then Allah said, ثم أماته, then he causes him to die. فأعقبه. No, فأقبره. نعم. And then he said here, and puts him in his grave. He used, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used fa instead of thumma in the very beginning from 18 to the start of 21. He subhanahu wa ta'ala used the article thumma, which means then. But when he reached the burial, he said and puts him in his grave. Fa. And also from the Sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as affirmed in Bukhari and Muslim, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Asri'u fil janaza." Be quick in carrying the funeral. Now, and this comprises hastening in its preparation, washing, shrouding, making the funeral prayer and the burial. In addition, I'll repeat that. أسرعوا في الجنازة. Hasten. Be quick in carrying the janazah. Yeah. And this is in Bukhari and Muslim. Naam. And as I said, this comprises the preparation, the washing, the shrouding, the salah on it, and the burial. In addition, hastening the burial is a protection for the body from changes. Because if it stays for a longer time, it changes. Even if it is kept in a freezer, it does change. So therefore this is a matter, it's very important that delaying the janazah is refraining the believer from that which is awaiting him from the bliss. We know that from the hadith which is agreed upon, I mentioned its beginning. Be quick when carrying a janazah. فَإِن تَكُوا صَالِحَ فَخَيْرٌ تُقَدِّمُونَهَا إِلَيْهِ وَإِن تَكُوا سِوَى ذَلِكَ فَشَرٌ تَضَعُونَهُ عَنْ رِقَابِكُمْ. Be quick when carrying the janazah, for if the dead person was good, you will be taking him to a good destination. And if he was otherwise, it is an evil over which you are ridding yourselves. There is no harm in some situations to wait to allow for the arrival, for example, of relatives of the deceased from a place that's not too far, or if the journey is not too long for them to reach. And also, if it is not feared that the body of the deceased may deteriorate, or if it is going to be difficult for those who are present, because those who are present take precedence over those who are absent. And the people of knowledge, when they said to wait for the relatives, because there is increase for the reward of the deceased when more number of people pray on him the funeral prayer. Now, what about the signs of death? The signs of death are either of the medical type that are known, or there are other signs which the people of knowledge had mentioned long time ago. From the signs that the people of knowledge had mentioned is the sinking of the temple, which is the part between the outer angle of the eye and the root of the ear. Is that clear? It sinks. Now, the second is the sideward inclination of the nose. The third is the relaxed separation of the hands from the forearm. It becomes so relaxed as if it is only hung by the skin. You understand? Clear? Now, the fourth is the relaxed separation of the feet, as if they are separated from the ankle and they become loose. Is that clear? The fifth is the loose expansion of the skin of the face. The sixth sign is the separation of the jaws. The seventh is the contraction of the testicles, as if they are hanging only from the side of the skin. The eighth, and this is the strongest sign, is the disappearance of the blackness of the eye, especially in the adults. Now, there are two medical signs. The first is the cessation of breathing and the heartbeats, and the second is malfunctioning or complete stop of the brain functions. And here is an issue. If the physicians rule upon a person that he died, they diagnose his death as the brain death, is it permissible in this case to take off the life-supporting instruments, or to leave him until he dies? The answer is, it is permissible to take off the life-supporting instruments, because the continuity of his life in this case is of no benefit. Rather, its existence is like its non-existence. But this should not be done unless it is certain, and that more than one physician testify that this person is brain dead, and that all the tissues of his brain deteriorated or became destroyed, and that there is no life in them. Why? Because in this case he only is supported in terms of life by this breathing or the artificial supporting units. In this case, therefore, it is permissible to lift and take out and stop these life support units. And it should be mentioned also that during his brain death state, in terms of the rulings, he is considered as, quote, dead but not real death. What does this mean? It means that this entails that it is forbidden to divide his inheritance, and that his bequest is not to be executed before his real death. So therefore, the death here in this case is of two types: the one which is called hukmi status, and this is the brain death, and the other is the non-real death. And in terms of the ruling, they differ. Meaning, when he is on this life support, you don't consider him as the normal known death. You understand? And therefore you don't divide his inheritance, nor you execute his bequests, you understand?